Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's Wendy Snyder sitting in for Bob Surratt this morning. And as we were connecting with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine, there seems to be some air raid sirens going off. Where are you, Joseph, and what is going on?
Wendy, good morning to you in Chicago. Good afternoon. I'm speaking to you from what I call the edge of the free world, the city of Kharkiv, which before the war was Ukraine's second biggest city. We're just about 30 miles from Russia. And I took it's about a six-hour train ride in from Kyiv this morning. As soon as we stepped on the platform, I heard the soundtrack of distant shelling. And my cameraman, John Baptiste, says with a laugh, "Welcome to Kharkiv. You know, this is how it is here." Even though you could hear the shelling at a distance, people were calmly filing into the train station, men, women, and children. Everyone just talking softly, even people laughing, just continuing with their lives. In fact, I noticed in a few hours I've been here today, there's a new cheerfulness on these streets because I was here a month ago when, unbeknownst to the world, the Ukrainians were beginning that amazing Kharkiv offensive. It was still secret at the time, and so the mood was very dark. But now, even though there are bombed out buildings everywhere and barricades and boarded windows, there's a new attitude of energy and even a cheerfulness I see in these streets. But at the same time, you know, the threat remains constant. And in fact, you probably heard me speaking to your producer right before we went on. And now all of Ukraine is under an air alarm. And it seems that just a few moments ago, we heard some noises, perhaps a little bit closer than what we heard earlier. So we are now back into caution mode here. In Kharkiv and throughout all of Ukraine.
Well, yes, and the reports that we're getting is Ukrainian officials warn, quote, the heaviest of battles ahead as Russian troops brace for battle.
Yeah, I mean, I was just meeting with a group of volunteers, so I want to tell you about these people, but we were all, these are people, everyone has been all over the country at different times, and, you know, it feels in some ways that Ukraine is like it's a giant village. Because as you go through the war, you see people you met at different phases of the war and everyone working on different projects. But I think the overarching theme or mood is that it's strangely calm right now. And, you know, we've had these threats from Putin on Monday. And by the way, after we talked yesterday, those 30 Congress men and women who were urging Biden to change his strategy, they retracted their letter.
Yeah, so I saw that.
To not being afraid. They blamed it on a staff member, but I think that sounds pretty extraordinary. But it's good to see that they're realizing we have to stick together and not be afraid. But there is a sense of, there's a strange calm now. And, you know, it's always those moments create a sense of anticipation. You know, what's going to happen next? And for those people here on the ground in Ukraine, it means stay focused, keep doing your job, and keep going. And so, for example, I had lunch today with a group of volunteers from Ukraine, France, Denmark, Finland, Ireland, America. And all these people in the early weeks of the war, when all of the foreign embassies had evacuated Ukraine, these were the wild people that came to help. And in this particular group, about 12 people, they all met at a shelter in Lviv in the early weeks of the war. And then they banded together. They found ways so they could be more effective. Pretty soon, they were driving beat-up cars and vans at the front lines and in the gray zones where, you know, there were Russians shooting at you. They evacuated people from occupied territory. And, you know, these are not people that they're not working with massive NGOs. They don't have – some of them are not even well-equipped. They don't have any safety mechanisms. If they get hit or hurt, you know, there's no great organization to take care of them. But they have been – and listening to their stories today – they have been to places and they have stayed here longer than some of these massive, well-funded, sleek, media-oriented nonprofits. Many of those groups have left. You know, they got their media attention and left. But I was really inspired to sit around and talk with these sort of wild souls. And I think they're here because they want to live with purpose. They believe in humanity and freedom, and they can't sit on the sidelines. And they were telling me they were some of the first people, some of the people in this group, to get to Izum when the Ukrainian army was liberating Izum, it just in the same region of Kharkiv, and there were still Russians hiding in the bushes and you know behind walls, and as they were going to as these forward volunteers and Ukrainians were going to deliver food, so they really saw you know up close that the liberation and the Russians just cowering in fear. Anyway, so these are amazing stories, you know, which I encounter so often. You know, today is 200. Here in Ukraine, we call it the 270th day of February, the month that has never ended.
Yeah.
But it's these stories that gave us inspiration. And these are the people that stick around here long after, you know, there's no more, you know, they don't have the great attention, but they're here because they believe in the goodness of this fight.
And very quickly here, Ukraine is asking people who did flee the country not to return home this winter. That's what's going on. That's the information we're getting anyway. Any truth to that?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's because people want to return. You know, these are people that, you know, they're happier in Ukraine than they are, you know, in other countries around the world because it's their home. But unfortunately, with the Russian attacks on infrastructure, we're anticipating it's going to be very difficult for them to have heat and electricity through the winter, and that's exactly why they need to keep the population a little bit smaller during these difficult upcoming months.
Totally makes sense, Joseph. It's a pleasure to talk to you as always. Bob is back tomorrow, so he will be talking to you. Please stay safe.
Wendy, thanks, and I look forward to talking to you as well in the near future.
Thank you. Joseph Lindsley, editor of Ukrainian Freedom News and founder of the Lviv Lab for the Activation of Democracy. It's like he's describing a movie. I can't believe this is real life going on there. It's crazy.